Gaia. Okay, gentlemen, so I'd like to discuss a number of issues with you today, going in order of Shulchan Aruch. So after 348 comes 349, and 349 deals with the Isser Hano'ah from a mace. The Gemara Avodah Zarah on Daf Chavtes tells me that tells me that there's an Isser Hano'ah on Tekreves Avodah Zarah because the Pasuk calls it Zivchei Mesim, and a mace is Aser B'Hano'ah because we learn a mace from Shom Shom Me'egla Arufa, Batomas Shom Miriam, Batikaver Shom, and by Egla Arufa, the Pasuk says, also Shom. So we learn Shom Shom Me'egla Arufa that there's an Isser Hano'ah on a mace. That's the din. The Mechaber Paskins, that a mace, whether it's a Jewish mace or a Goyish mace, so the mace is Aser B'Hana'ah, that's one din, that the Guf HaMace is Aser B'Hana'ah. There's another din, that Tachriche HaMace are Aser B'Hana'ah, the shrouds that you wrap the mace in, that's a second din. The din of Tachriche HaMace, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, says requires a din of Asmenei Vitzarbei, that in order for the Tachrichim to be Aser, it has to be that you designate the Tachrichim, I'm going to use these shrouds, Asmenei Vitzarbei, and then I put the mace in it. If it is Lo Asmenei, if you didn't designate it, or Asmenei v'lo tzarbei, it's not going to be aser, but it's a second din. That din is not about the guf hames. That din is about the tachriche hames, about the extraneous things to the mace. So there are a few issues that we have to talk about. One is, when I speak about a mace, what type of mace is aser b'hana'ah? The second issue is going to be, how do I define the guf hames? And then the third issue is going to relate to this other din of the tachrichim. So when it comes to a guy, what type of mace is aser b'hana'ah? So the Mechaber paskins that bein oivet kolchavim, bein Yisrael, the tachrichim are aser. L'cha'ora, the Mechaber does not say anything about the guf hames. He only speaks about the tachrichim. And you have to say that it's like a kol shekein. Right? The Mechaber does not say that the guf hames is aser, but the fact that the Mechaber holds that the tachrichim of a mace, both for a Jew and for a guy, is aser, that indicates that even the mesei akum are going to be aser b'hana'ah. This, one second, let me just finish up. This is a big machlokes harishonim. The Gemara in Bava Kamma has a din that the shor psulei hamukdashim that's nafal into a bar. So the din is that the shor psulei hamukdashim that's nafal in the bar. So the din is that it's not going to be aser. We have a pasuk or something that tells me that it's not aser. Tosfos over there raises a kasha that we see from the Gemara. It's shor v'lo shor psulei hamukdashim. We see from the Gemara elsewhere that the din is shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim, that if an adam falls into a bar, so there's no tashlum nezek of bar. Frek Tosfos akasha, why do you need the din of shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim? Teipuk lei, that the din is that an adam who is a mace is aser b'hana'ah, and meila, the din is the hames yelo. The din is that by the nezek, the mazik of bar, you have to take possession of the mace. So you can't be kaina a mace who's aser b'hana'ah. So frektos is akasha, that how could it be that, or why do you need the din of shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim, the din of Shar Ish, below Shar Shapsuli HaMuktashim, whatever it is, why do you need such a din when, or why do you need such a din of Shar Velo Adam when the Adam is Osir Bahana'a anyway? That's Taisvis' Kasha. So Taisvis works hard on this Kasha, and one answer in the Tosis and Bava Kama is that an Adam, which is Osir Behana'az atem kriyim adam and akum and not kriyim adam, that may say akum are not aser behana'a. That's one teretz in the Taisis in Bava Kama. The other teretz in the Taisis in Bava Kama is that we're not really talking about adam there in the Gemara. When we speak about sharval, sharp soya, mukdashim, etc., what we're really talking about is just midine shar, and then a chanami. For an adam, you don't need the din because an adam is aser behana'a anyway. That's the second answer, or the first answer in the Taisim Bava Kama. The Rashba in his Chidushim in Bava Kama, their Daf Yud, the Rashba also follows the opinion in Taisvis that Meisei Akam are not Aser Bahanoha. The Rashba, however, in a Tshuva in Simin Shin Samech Hei, the Rashba writes that in his opinion, Meisei Akam or Usr Behana'a. We effectively, again, the Rashba does not say it exactly, but we effectively say that Stam Yenom is us, that Yayin Shenis Nasech Avodah Zarah is Usr Behana'a. Yishtu Yain Nisicham, and we learn out from Zivchei Mesim, and Zivchei Mesim, we know Mesim is Usr Behana'a, etc. So you see that the wine of the Goyim is Aser Bahana'a based on the same train of thought. That would indicate that a Meis Goy is also Aser Bahana'a. That's the, again, the Rashba does not say it like this, but this is my read on the situation. But basically, there is a contradiction in the Rashba between the Rashba in the Tshuva Simen Shin Samachay, where the Rashba writes that a Meis Akam is Aser Bahana'a. That Rashba is quoted here in the Beis Yosef, and that is the source of the din in the Shulchan Aruch, that Meis Akam are Aser Bahana'a comes from that Rashba. However, there are some who disagree. The Nekudas HaKesef over here quotes that the base, the Bedek HaBayis, which is the Beis Yosef, quotes us from the Tshuvas HaRashba, but Taisus and Bava Kama disagrees. And the fact is, the Rambam says that if you eat Basar Adam, there is no Malkus. If you hold that an Adam is Aser Bahana, I know this is kind of gross. If you hold that an Adam is Aser Bahana, so you should get Malkus for eating Basar Adam, assuming that there is an Malkus on Yisurei Hana'a, which is a big discussion in the second parak of Psachim. But be it as it may, there is a huge machlokes harishonim about whether Meisei Akam are Aser Behana'a or not. The Pisvei Tshuva paskins that Meisei Akam are Aser Behana'a midrabbanan, only Meisei Yisrael are Aser Behana'a min hatayra. That's the psak of the Pisvei Tshuva. In the Badei HaShulchan, he quotes that the Chochmas Adam leaves the question about whether Meisei Akam are Aser Behana'a or not unresolved. Now the Bir HaGra, Elijah Kramer of Vilna, as we know, he was kind of cool. So the Gain quotes that although the Rashba paskins that Meisei Akam are Aser Behana'a, L'cha'ayra, it's against a Pasuk. The Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, right, the Mishnah L'melech in Perek Yudalon of Hilchos Avel, Mishmael has an arichus about eating mummies, fretnish kankashes, whether the mesim are the mesim of goyim are aser bahana'a. It's a long discussion in the Mishneh L'melech, and Zak the Gra, I have, or the Mishneh L'melech before me brought a proof from a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. If you remember, David HaMelech has like this really difficult relationship with Shaul, no? And Shaul tells David, I want you to go and fight against the Plishtim. And the Pasuk says that Shaul tells David, I want you to bring me 100 Philistine foreskins. No? That's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that Shaul was thinking that David is going to die in the process. But kims again, David HaMelech not only brought 100 Philistine foreskins, he killed 200 Philistines. And he shows up to Shaul and he's like, here are your foreskins. And now I am going to marry your daughter Michal with the foreskins of the Philistines. That's what the psukim speak about in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Ches. One second, dude. What's going on? How can you learn from the how can you learn from the how can you possibly be Mekadesh Michal with the Philistine foreskins? L'cha'ira amazes aser b'hana'ah. So the foreskin from a dead Philistine is aser b'hana'ah. Elamai, you see. That may say Akum and not Aser B'Hana'ah. Isn't this a good raya? Right? The Mishnah Mouth brings a raya that you see from David HaMelech. Right? The Gaon over here quotes it, no? The fact that David HaMelech is Mekadesh Michal with the Arlos of Plishtim, you see that Philistine foreskins are not Aser B'Hana'ah. Foreskins of dead Philistines, no? So, right, this is a raya that may say Akum and not Aser B'Hana'ah. Pretty good raya, no? Pretty good raya. So there are three ways to be docha this proof that are found in the Mishnah Lamelach. The Mishnah Lamelach first says that, first of all, read the psukim. The psukim there in Shmuel say, Vayach David ba'plishtim masa yemesh. Does Vayach mean he killed them? Ken Zayin, he didn't kill them. Ken Zayin, he smote them without killing them, and then he knocked off their foreskins, and then he brings them to Sha'ol for the Kiddushin of Michal. Okay, that's a little bit difficult. The word Vayach in Tanakh usually means, right, Erez Gishtarvin, he killed him. But Mishnah entertains this possibility. Another possibility, which I think is really interesting, is that when David HaMelech is Mekadesh Michal, the Kiddushin is not that the Philistine foreskins, so you have to say it 10 times fast, the Kiddushin is not the Philistine foreskins count as the Kesef Kiddushin. Rather, the Mishnah Kiddushin Mem Tes speaks about that I could be Mekadesh an Isha with Skar Pa'ula. No? I could say, Beskar She Adaber Alayech L'Shulton. I'm going to go and I'll speak to the government and help you out. Right, and the Skar Pa'ula, that self counts as a Kiddushin. Again, the Gemara says this is totally whether I passing Yesh L'Skiris Mitzvah Seif, in L'Skiris Halva Seif. It's like a Lumdish question in the Gemara Kiddushin. But it could be that when David HaMelech is Makeh B'Plishtim, and that counts as Kiddushin for Michal, it's not that the foreskin itself is Kesef Kiddushin, rather the Kesef Kiddushin is a Skar Pa'ula. Okay. What? So the benefit is that if I tell you to do something and you do it, so Na'aseh Ritzayni itself is valuable. Sha'ol HaMelech wanted this. Right? The woman tells the guy, speak to the government for me, and then he listens. Right over here, the assumption that Michal is not yet bas mitzvah, so Shaul could marry her off. No, and it's the Skar Pa'ula that Shaul had this request. That's the second approach. The third approach is interesting because it's relevant to the second question I want to deal with, which is what part of a mace is aser b'hana'ah? So what about the skin of a mace? Is the skin of a mace aser b'hana'ah? So you're going to say, Schwartz, what are you thinking? No, obviously, the skin of a mace is the mace itself. So I'll tell you what I'm thinking. It's not so much. Tosfos in Chulin Kufkaf Beis is bothered by Akasha. The Gemara says that they instituted Tum'ah on the skin of a mace, right? If you take a mace and you skin it, there's a din of Tum'ah on that skin. We're worried that if you would not be Tum'ah, if the skin would not be tummy, people would take the skin of their parent and they'd make carpets out of it. A very logical concern. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Right? Maybe you'll make a shatiyah, make oziv v'imo. So Frek Taisvis, one second. Why do I have to say a gezeira that there's tumah? Right? Table clay, that the mace is aser b'hanoah. There's tumah on the mace itself. So the Ar HaMace is also aser. And therefore, just like the mace is tame, the arha mace is tame also. So Tosfos says, Enochanami, you're right. Right? The mace is aser b'hanoah, therefore you can't make a carpet out of the mace. The thing is that people are more scared of tumah than they are of isurei hanoah in general. Right? Tumah scares people. So therefore, right, enochanami, the mace would be aser b'hanoah, but they have to make an iser tumah. Enochanami, the skin of the mace would be aser b'hanoah, and you can't use the skin of your parents to be a carpet. But, right, but l'maisa, because tumah is chomer la'inshi, that's why they instituted in tumah. That's Tosfos in Chulin Kufchaf Beis. Tosfos in Zvachim Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. Tosfos writes, in his opinion, the or is not aser b'hanoah. The mace is aser b'hanoah, that means the atzamais and the basar. The or is not aser b'hanoah. That's what Tosfos writes in Zvachim. Now, if the or is not aser b'hanoah, so then, right, I could say, David is mekadesh, michal, with the mea arlos pleshtim, again, is there any market? Is there any value for Philistine foreskins, Beisach Nisht? But assuming there is some value, so the Kesef Kedushin was the Orlos Plishtim insofar as the Or is not Aser B'Hanoah. So those are the three answers that the Mishnah Lamelech brings to this question. So the second, yeah, Mr. Pella Schwartz.
Didn't you also say that like Shimon and Levi happened before they died?
Shimon and Levi, what happened before they died?
Might they even be before they died? Is every part of the mace aser b'hanoah, even the parts that were taken off before they died?
So the part of the mace that comes up before he died is not
like aser b'hanoah.
Fingernails are not, if I cut my fingernails, they're not aser b'hanoah. So you're saying that maybe David, the assumption is that you're not going to get the Philistine's foreskin unless the Philistine's already dead. Right, Iver is tight, right? We can take off his foreskin. When he's alive, it's going to be harder to get the foreskin off. I think that's the Pashtus and the Kasha and the Khanami. Right? You could give that answer. Also, I don't know. What's considered part of the mace? So, the hair of the mace. Is the hair of the mace aser b'hanoah? So the pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Beis Saro Mamish Afilu Siva Olav aser b'hanoah. Even if the person said, "Get rid of my hair after I died," but the hair is aser b'hanoah. The hair is considered a chelak of the body because it's attached to the body at this point. The Rambam paskins that the hair is not aser b'hanoah. The Perek Yodalot of the Rambam Halacha Chaf Aleph. The Rambam writes that the hair is not aser b'hanoah. She'ein haseyar kigof. That's the lashon of the Rambam. That hair is not like the body. There is a machlekes, the end of the first Perek of Erechim. Whether a isha who's yotza leharei, is the hair right after the psak din. So there's some iser is the hair aser b'hana'ah or not. It's a machlekes hatanoim of Nachum bar Yitzchak and the rest of Judaism. The Rambam seems to pass in like the wrong tana or like the minority opinion that the hair is not aser b'hana'ah. This opinion that the hair is not aser b'hana'ah, Rashi would learn is because when I die, my body begins to disintegrate. Misa is sholeit on my guf, but Misa is not really sholeit on my hair. No, my hair remains after I die. I think they found recently from Napoleon, they found his hair, right? How many hundreds of years after he died? So they found his hair, they exhumed him and they found his hair, and there was arsenic, traces of arsenic in Napoleon's hair, which is evidence that Napoleon was poisoned and that's how he died. No? Whatever. The type of stuff I'm interested in is different than the stuff most people are interested in, but it's all halacha, it's all taira, because it's relevant for hair, whether hair is aser b'hana'ah. So the Rambam Paskin's hair is not aser b'hana'ah. He gives a different reason than Rashi. Rashi says hair is not aser b'hana'ah because death is not shayim on hair. The Rambam says because the hair is not like the guf. Pause. The Rambam says hair is not like the guf. If you, those of you who are in the Nidashir, remember that there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid whether the hair is like the guf. There is a din in Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Chatzitza, that there's a din to Eraisa, that Rubai Umakbin is a Chatzitza. How do I recognize, how do I calculate what is considered rove? Do I say rove of the hair itself? Right? The Gemara speaks about one hair tied that is a chatzitza, three hairs tied, it's not a chatzitza, two hairs is a suffix in the Gemara. Right? It's hard to understand how you potentially have a dairaisa over there. So the Rambam's going to say it's not so hard to have a dairaisa about the hair, because according to the Rambam, the hair is cheshbin ois with the body. That the seir is keguf. But the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and the Ravid writes that the Gaon and Paskin, that the Seir is Nimdad La'atmo, that when I make my calculation of Chatzitza, I look at the hair as separate from the body. Rebelvo Soloveitchik has this essay, if you remember, Verachas Es Bisaro Bamayim. Es Bisaro means Es Hatofel Lebisaro, which includes the hair, which is Tofel to the body. So it seems to be a bit of a steer in the Rambam. On the one hand, the Rambam in Hilchos Tevila says that the hair is part of the body. But on the other hand, the Rambam over here, Perek Yudalev of Hilchos Avel, Halacha Chof Aleph, writes that the hair is not part of the body. There seems to be a steer in the Rambam. So this morning, I was bothered by this kasha. So I take out the Rambam in Perek Beis of Hilchos Mikvais, right? That's where the Rambam is in terms of Tevila. And I notice, interestingly, the Rambam writes, Shahaseir dinai keguf le'inyan tevila. Right? The Rambam is precise in his language. The Rambam says that the hair is part of the body for tevila, for mikvahis issues. But for everything else, the hair is not considered part of the body, etc.
The
tevila for tuman tahara?
No, for the tahara.
Oh, for the tahara. Yeah. So I don't know. I think the tevila in the Rambam means when the human being who's alive goes to the mikvah. I don't think it means we don't do tevila, by the way, for most mason. Only for like Gedola Yisrael do we put them in the mikvah. For everyone else, when we do the tahara, we just pour tisha kabim on the person. The minigim broyers is that they don't even pour the tisha kabim on the person. They put a cloth on the person and they pour the tisha kabim on top of the cloth. Many of the minhagim of a tahara that they do in broyers, we'll talk about this a little bit, are the minhagim that the acharonim dafka say not to do. The Chachmas Adam's son, Moshe, was Nifter. When the son Moshe died, he wrote one kuntris on Hilchos Shabbos called the Zichron Taras Moshe. He wrote another kuntris on Avelos called the Matzeves Moshe. And then the Kuntres Matzeves Moshe says, do not do a tahara this and this and this way. And I heard from Rabbi Zon, who runs the Chevre Kadisha in Queens, who does like all the taharas for people. He says, every minhag that the Chochmas Adam says not to do, that's what they do down the street. Mamish, every single one. When I was the Rabbi of Shalom Bash in the Heights, I worked very hard. I'm like, we got to put together, we had our own women's chevre. We didn't have a men's chevre. There weren't enough people wanted to do taharas on the men. So you just send the taharas to brewers. I'm like, we can't do this. We got to get men to do the taharas because they do all the minhagim and brewers wrong. Or whatever. The minhagim are right for them, if you know what I'm saying. But, okay. So is the Seyar considered like the guf? So the Achronim quote that the Tosfos in Bava Kama and says that same Tosfos on Daf Yod says that the Seyar is not Asur B'Hanochah against the Shulchan Aruch. So what emerges v'cha'ira is like this. There's a Shulchan Aruch Paskin says Akum Arsa B'Hanochah. They pass that Seyar is Asur B'Hanochah. By Akum, which is Aser B'Hanochah, it's a Din Drabonon, like the Pesachei Tshuva writes. So the Pashtus is that the Seyar Shel Goyim should not be Aser B'Hanochah at all. The Pashtus is that there are too many hoops to jump through, that the Seyar of a Goy is going to be Aser B'Hanochah. What's the reason? What's part of the reason over here? Why would the R not be Aser B'Hanochah? Why would the Seyar not be Aser B'Hanochah? Right? We quoted that Tosfos in Zvachim says that the R is not Aser B'Hanochah. So for the R, the Pashtus is because we learn Meis is Aser B'Hanochah Shom Shom Me'egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is Kaparek Sivbeke Kachim, has a din of Kachim. By Kachim, the R of Kachim is not Aser B'Hanochah, no? So Mimela, that could be why the Ur is not Aser B'Hanochah. The Seyar not being Aser B'Hanochah is probably because one of the reasons we said that Misa is not Sholeit, or because the Seyar is not considered a Chelak. The Dinim of Seyar apply also to Peya Nachris. If you have a wig, so if the wig is attached to your body, so you have to bury the wig with the person. It's Aser B'Hanochah. If it's not attached to the body, you take the wig off and you don't bury the wig. Anything that's not part of the body, you take off and you don't bury it. Hearing aids, you remove. The Five Cohen writes in the Badei HaShulchan Dafka, the stuff that's not attached to the body, you should remove.
Pacemaker also.
A pacemaker is inside the body. That's a chelik of the body, so that you bury tubes in the mace. Often the tubes have some blood in it. The blood is ta'an kavura. So those tubes that have the blood in them, you have to bury, or you remove the tube and then you bury the tube also. Blood from a mace is aser dam tevusa, which is blood that it's a suffix, whether it came out min achay or min hames, is a suffix to iraisa. We bury the dam. Dam tevusa, excuse me, is aser midrabonon. We bury the blood, the dam tevusa. Also, the dam that's aser b'hanochah min hatayra is only the regular blood. You had a question?
Whatever it means by attached, how attached.
Ah, what does attached mean? How attached? So it says in Shulchan Aruch that if it's kashur, it is considered attached. If it is pinned, or if it's just braided, so the Shach quotes in the Shach and Eis Gimel quotes that if it's braided, it is aser. We assume that braiding has a din of kashira, right? On Shabbos, it might be a malach of bumne, but we assume that to braid something is aser, it's considered attached. If it's attached just with pins, then it's mutter. If the hair is just... What about a ring? Do you bury a ring? People often dye with their rings on. After a person dies, it's harder to get the ring off. So do you bury the person with the ring? So the Pesachei Tshuva over here quotes that the Rush writes in Hilchos Tefillin, you know, there's a din of Kshira by Tefillin. It's a pasuk in Kriyas Shema, Ksharetam la'isa yadcha, no? How do you do Kshira? So the Rush writes that the Kshira is when I wrap the Tefillin around my fingers. If it's wrapped tight, that's considered Kshira. So the Shaila is getting the ring off if the ring is on tight. We know in Hilchos Nida that a ring that's loose, that you could turn around, is considered a separate thing. But if the ring is tight, so it's a shaila whether you, what's it called? If the ring is tight, so there's a discussion, the Pesachei Tshuva, that it might be that the ring is attached. If the ring is attached, maybe there's a chiyuv to bury the ring. There is a woman named Charlotte Wall. She lived over here in 183rd Street. She died. So the rabbi's around usually when people die. So like you wait, like we spoke about, you wait like 20 minutes until after death before you cover the person, before you declare the person is dead, because we're not sure exactly what the moment of death is. By the time we realize that, or we decide that she's really dead, we couldn't get the ring off. She was wearing a ring, we couldn't like get her ring off. So they had to work very hard to get her ring off. It was because of like, based on the rigor mortis, and like, I think she had also swelled. Sometimes when people are like very sick, their body like swells and they have an infection or something. So you couldn't get the ring off. So maybe you shouldn't get the ring off because the Pesachei Tshuva discusses. So Lamaisa said we take the ring off. For one of three reasons. We assume that something that's kashur is only a problem if it's a chelak of the guf. No one's going to assume that the gold ring that you're wearing is a... no one's going to assume that that gold ring that you're wearing is mamish considered a chelak of the guf. It's only noi that's dome to the guf. If you look in the Ba'adei HaShochan, Osi Yudala, he makes that point. Others say that only stuff that the derech is that you bury with the person is asir b'hanava. You don't usually bury people with their rings. Lemaisa, we take the ring off before we bury. It's a little bit hard. You have to like put a lot of soap on and like really work hard to get the ring off. But that's taka what we did. In that case, okay.
You said don't look ghosts. So what about like, I guess, there's rings, or what about like fake teeth?
So fake teeth. So fake teeth, if it's a chelak of the body, so then you, if it's a false tooth, so you bury the person with the false tooth. If it is dentures that you remove every night, we take the dentures off before we bury them. Yeah, usually, by the way, the dentures are not in. Usually, by the time they're like at that stage.
That's a lot harder.
Yeah, whatever. Usually, the dentures are not there anymore, at least the cases that I've dealt with. Okay, so there's an Isser Hana'a on the mace. There is a Isser Hana'a on the Falakin that are considered Belke Hamace. There's an Isser Hana'a also on the tachrichim, on the shrouds, which we said only applies when it's azmenei v'tzarbe, etc. Sometimes you bring a mace from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the practice is that they don't bury in coffins. In Chutz La'aretz, we put the mace in the coffin. That's l'chaira a case of azmenei v'tzarbe. That l'chaira is a case that you designate the coffin because... Right, this is the coffin. You put the person in the coffin after you do the tahara, and then you ship them off to Eretz Yisrael. They do put an additional coffin on top of the coffin, like a plastic one that they're shipping it to Eretz Yisrael to make sure there's no tumas kaihanim. But the coffin, the pashtus is it's asmini. They designate it for the mace and sarbe. They put the mace into it. So the coffin might be also Bahana, Mr. Palajort.
Wouldn't it be more similar to the things that might be carried and made with? like as in that there's discussion of like the sort of the equipment that's used to carry the mate from where they died to the Kaaba. It sounds like if they know Mila Khil, they're gonna be very nervous about that.
Right. So if you have like the board that you cut, that you carry the mace to the kever, or the poskim speak about like tahara boards, so that's not considered sarbe because it's entirely temporary. It's not intended for kavura at all. The Gesher HaChayim in Chelek Beisim in Dalman has a tshuva, and it's also the end of Parak Ches in Chelek Aleph, where the Gesher HaChayim discusses that sometimes Chevra Kaddishas and Putzlaritz, and they pack mesim, don't realize that Minigan Eretz Yisrael is that they're not going to put the coffin in, so into the ground. So in that case, it's like Asmanei Betzarvei, and it's going to be that the coffin is Aser Bahana'a in Yabiya Omer Chelek Aleph Simen Chaf Dalid. Chacham Ovadia also paskins that if they put the mace in the coffin, intending that he should or she should remain in that coffin, that's not going to be us. It's not, if it's intended that you remain there, it's going to be usser. If they put it in there temporarily, it's not usser. That's the way Chacham Ovadia and the Gesher HaChayim paskin. The Badei HaShulchan Se'if Katin Ches right, that if you build something dafka l'tzeirach hames, and it is temporary, it still is going to be usser. The idea of the tahara boards not being usser is because the intention when they built them is to use them again and again and again. But something that I build and I intend to be for this mace, even if it's a temporary thing, revival paskins is going to be aser bahana'a. That would mean that according to him, you have to take the coffin apart and put the coffin in the grave together with the nifter. Even though in Eretz Yisrael, they put the nifter straight in the ground. V'chiper ad masai amo, the ground of Eretz Yisrael is mechaper. You want to lie, mamish, on the ground in Chutz La'aretz. We assume that the being connected to the ground is also important. The Gesher HaChayim writes that our belief, I spoke in Columbia University's seminar on death and bereavement last year. Don't ask, I have a whole seminar on death. Like there's people who work on this stuff. So Ari Goldman was in my shiur run 2 years ago. So he's like he's a columnist for the New York Times who works in obituaries. So he deals with death. So I spoke a little bit about the Jewish approach to burial, et cetera. We'll talk a little bit more about what I said as we move on. So the Gesher HaChayim has a whole theory that the reason why Klal Yisrael does Kfura B'Karka is because our belief is not only that death is temporary, but that death creates new life. So when I bury an organic thing in the ground, without being too gruesome about this, what happens is that you become fertilizer and you create new life. So therefore, we want, in Eretz Yisrael, we want Kibur B'Karka, because we keep our Nosei Amai the Karka, and Eretz Yisrael is Mechaper. Even in Chutz La'aretz, we want Kibur B'Karka, ideally, because we want to rejuvenate. We want new life to come. In Hasidic communities, they have special coffins that they pull out the bottom and the guy like is lying on the ground. In most communities, they don't do that. Most communities, what they do is they have holes in the coffin, and the holes in the coffin make it like it is kavura mamash bakarka. One of the reasons why we are so opposed to burying in a mausoleum is because the idea of a mausoleum is that you want the body to disintegrate more slowly. We want the disintegration to happen quicker because the kapara, like we spoke about yesterday, happens when the body disintegrates, and we want kapara to happen faster. Also, we want kavura bikarka to rejuvenate, to create additional growth, like we said a minute ago. So the practice, again, when you bring a mace with the coffin from Chutz La'aretz, whether that coffin is going to be aser v'hanor, require kavura or not, is both the Yabiya Omer and the Gesher HaChayim assume that it's really not such a problem. But the Adi Ashulchan says that you have to do kavura on it. There's a discussion that a mace is asur b'hanma'a. So how does the chevra kadisha get paid? How you get money for dealing with a mace? So there's a whole lumbus in the Geshar Achaim Chelak Beis Simin Hey is all about this. Chelak Beis are his tshuvas. So Chelak Beis Simin Hey, he discusses that maybe Stam Yenam is Aser Bahana'a, but the Mishnayis in Avodah Zarah say I'm allowed to get paid for schlepping a wine barrel from here to there. So maybe you get paid not from the mace itself, you get paid for the schlepping, you get paid for the activity. The Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Tukachinsky does not like this approach. He has a different mahalach that he prefers. His mahalach is azai. Fundamentally, the mitzvah of kvura is on the krovim. The relatives have a mitzvah to bury. If the relatives don't want to bury, they don't want to dig the ground, they don't want to put it in, so they hire somebody to do it for them. They just, almost like what we spoke about, David HaMelech, the Skar Pu'ula, they are paying someone for that job of burying. So the Hana'a is not coming from the mace, the Hana'a is coming from the Kravim, who don't want to bury the mace. So Memela, that's what the Geshar Chaim says, that's how the Chevra Kadishas get paid. Memela, says the Geshar Chaim, if you have a mace mitzvah, you have somebody who doesn't have relatives, you're not allowed to get paid. The cheshbon of getting paid is only because the krovim are supposed to pay you. In Breuer's, I believe the practice is, and I think in most chevra, my father would have to tell me, my understanding is that in most chevra kadishas, the practice is that the chevra does not get paid. They call a chesed sho'emes. Right, that was that's the tradition, what it's called. There's a fellow, the head of the Chevra Kaddish in KJ, is like a big mumcha. He has like all, I'm just forgetting his name right now. He's a big expert. He has like all these materials from Chevra Kaddishas elsewhere. I think the practice everywhere is that Chevra Kaddishas don't get paid. Although in the Geshar Chaim, in Chelak Beisim in Hay, he discusses that shaila of the Chevra Kadisha getting paid. There's a din that sometimes people want to bury the mace and they're so distraught over the mace that they take their gold rings and they throw it at him. So in that case, their kavana is to bury it and they might actually become asur b'hana'a, because it's ki'ilu, they want it to become a chilak of the nifter. So there's a mitzvah of like Hashavas Aveda to catch the rings before they end up on the body. That's what it says in Shinem Tes Se'if Gimel. If it's, there's a mitzvah lahatzilan, if it's nogeya b'mita, then you have to bury it. That's the din, providing they threw it out das she yikbereim imo, they throw it meriros, etc. So these are some of the dinim that we have over here in Simin Shin Mem Tes. Simin Shin Shin Nun is not really relevant. Shin Nun says that if you have a chosin and a kala, so you bury the chosin holding a pen, and you bury the kala that you, what's it called? You like cover the hair or something. The idea seems to be the Sefer Beis Hillel writes on Bam the Shulchan Aruch, and the Chosin's about to write a ksuba. So you put a pen in them with him to show that he's like about to write the ksuba. And the kala you do again to show that she's kilo married. I remember there was a woman, Nava Applebaum, and her father was Dr. David Applebaum, and they were killed in a bombing at Sparrow the night before, right? Sparrow was, used to be the corner of King George and Yafo, right? And the night before she was to get married, she went out with her father, and then she's killed. So at the wedding, the at the wedding, the chassan takes the ring and he puts the ring in with her. And he felt that. He felt that he's going to get married tomorrow, put the ring on her finger. So he put the ring in with her. That's not the same as this din. This din is that someone is so upset. So then there's a nechashav saveda. I think that case is completely different. Or, yeah, maybe talk is similar. But no one wanted the ring not to be buried. Okay, that's the main Shin Nun, etc. Shin Nun Aleph is about that we bury a mace wearing shatnez if we want. But there's a discussion, do you bury the mace wearing a talus? The Machaber says that you bury the mace wearing a talus with tzitzis, and the Ramah writes that we don't do that. Either you don't need tzitzis, or we passel the tzitzis, or we koyrech the tzitzis, or we wrap the tzitzis into the beged. We do stuff like that. There is a discussion in the Gemara whether we pass a mason chafshim min ha-mitzvahs or not. Do we assume that we assume, generally speaking, that tchiyas ha-mason is going to be bodily? Part of the Maimonidean controversy in the 14th century was that people said that Trias HaMesim is like a place, a concept. It won't be a physical thing, but we believe Trias HaMesim is going to be physical. And therefore, the din in the Gemara is that you bury a mace with a talus in order that when you wake up, you'll be wearing tzitzis. No? How do you wake up? You're not going to have tzitzis on. So we bury you with tzitzis. The Gemara in Baba Basra speaks about when they found the Mesei Midbar and they found the tzitzis on them, etc. These are the Dina Medina de Gemara Bahishaita Vadai Ramina Lay, that the moment of Kavura, we definitely put the talus on. So the Mechaber says you put the talus on the guy. Yet the Tachrichim are allowed to be shatnez. So Mamanashach, if I'm assuming that you're going to wake up, and so then how come you're wearing shatnez, right? If I understand you wear tzitzis because you're going to wake up and it'll be physical. So how can you allowed to wear shatnez? So the Rishonim are bothered by this kasha. And I believe there are three answers. One answer is the answer of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says that there's no iser of shatnez if the beged does not warm you up. Once you are dead, the beged is not warming you up. So memela, there is no iser shatnez. But tzitzis applies even though the beged doesn't warm you up. There's a whole discussion, no? Do you have to get hanoah from the beged to be chayav in tzitzis? If I wear wool tzitzis when it's 117 degrees in Death Valley, right, I'm not getting any hanoah from the beged, right? Alternatively, if I'm dead, so the beged is not giving me any hanoah. The Rashbam holds that shatnez applies only if you get hanoah from the beged, but tzitzis applies even if you're not getting hanoah from the beged. That's the Rashbam's answer. The Rabbeinu Tam says that there's a different question. The reason why we bury... One second. The reason why they bury the... Actually, I should say the Ramban. The Ramban on page 98 in the Torah of Adam writes that really the issue with burying a mace with shatnez and tzitzis is a different din. It's a din of layig l'rosh. Like, it will be like an insult. Like, how you have this guy who, and, like, there are mitzvahs It should be done. He's not doing mitzvahs, etc. Tzitzis is nicker. Right? You could tell that the guy is not wearing tzitzis, and he should be. So therefore, it's Layig L'Rosh. Layig L'Rosh in the sense of it's an insult to be dead and not have tzitzis on. It's an insult to that nifter himself. But Kilayim, Shatnez, you can't tell is it Shatnez or not. It's just a shirt. You can't tell. So in Mela, there's no Loeg L'Rosh on the Shatnez. Others say that only by Tzitzis is a Loeg L'Rosh, because Tzitzis is Shekula Kenega Kala Mitzvahs. Rashi says the Gematria is 600, plus there are 8 strings, 5 knots. No? That equals 613. Obviously, Rashi did not wear tchelas. If you wear tchelas, you have more than 5 knots, no? You need shiva rikiyam if you wear tchelas. Right? The whole question of Rashi is without tchelas. But since it's a shkula kinek kam mitzvahs, there's a din of Layig L'Rosh on the tzitzis. There's no din of Layig L'Rosh on the shatnez, etc. Meaning, these Rishonim are saying that the real issue in the Gemara has not based on Mason Chavshim and Amitzis or not. It's a different cheshbin based on Loeg L'Rosh. So the din is, you're allowed to put Kilayim, Yapel Shatnez on the Nifter. Whether we put Tzitzis on the Nifter or not, the Sfaradim put a Talis on, a Talis with Tzitzis, Ashkenazim do not. There are 3 minhagim among Ashkenazim. 2 of them are found in the Ramah. 1 minig is, well, there are 3 minhagim. 4 maybe, I'm not good at counting. 1 minig is that you don't put tzitzis on at all. The minig in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh is that you carry the mace to the kever with the tzitzis, you take the tzitzis off. The practice of the Ritzvah Bala Taisvis in Brachas Daf Yud Ches is that they tuck the tzitzis in. We'll talk about that in a minute. And the practice of most Kever Kaddishas is that they kassel the talis. They like rip off one of the tzitzis. Now, Medina de Gemara, Svaradim are right. You're supposed to bury a mace with talis. That's a Gemara in Menachas, stuff like Memalov. So what's our heter not to do tzitzis? Either we don't do tzitzis at all, or we take it off, or we pass, or we tuck it in. The 4 passovers within Ashkenazim. What's the heter? So the Tosfos writes in Brachas Yud Ches that we are so mechon what we call Svarim Chitzonim. And Svarim Chitzonim usually refers to the Apocrypha. But Svarim Chitzonim, the Balei HaTosfos, means the Sheva Mesechtes Ketanis. Mesechas Machos Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, Abba Shaul says, take the Tchilas off me before I get buried. Now, the Ramban writes that there's really no proof from Abba Shaul, because Abba Shaul is also L'shitaso. If you look at Mesechas Tzitzis, a different one than Mesechas Ketanis, so Chaim Kanievsky wrote Perushim on the smaller ones than Mesechas Ketanis, no? I looked in the Beis Medrash, I couldn't find it this morning. But Mesechas Tzitzis, there's only one parak, Halacha Yotes in Mesechas Tzitzis. So Abba Shaul has an opinion that Tzitzis have Kedusha. The Chacham disagree with Abba Shaul. Right? Meaning, if tzitzis have kedusha, it's a pasnish to the tzitzis, to they should be buried. You have to take them off. But if you hold tzitzis don't have kedusha, like we pass in tashmishay mitzvah nizraket, there's no kedusha. So memela, according to the chachamim, there's no kedusha on the tzitzis. So it's a little bit difficult because Abba Shaul says, take the tzitzis off me. Take the tchelas off me. That's because Habashos was shitaso, that he holds that there's kedusha on the tzitzis. But we know there's no kedusha on the tzitzis, and therefore we should wear it. So how come we're being samech on the Svarim Chitzonim if it's all a shitaso? That's the Ramban's taina on page 99 in the Torah Ha'adam. Hard to know the practice of Ashkenazim. The Sefer Beis Lachem Yehuda writes over here, don't start up with any minig of the Chepa Kadishas. They tell a story that someone started up with like a minig of the Chepa Kadishas and like people kept on dying until they brought the old minhagim back. You don't start up. It's a very old minig that we bury without a tala. So if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan over here in Shin Nun Aleph, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about two gedolei olam, the Gra and the Yisod V'Shoresh HaAvodah, that they dafka wanted to be buried with their tzitzis. As I state in Shas, you should be buried with your tzitzis. That's what they wanted. Yet, I think in the Yisod V'Shoresh HaAvodah's case, so as they're lowering the body into the grave, the tzitzis get caught on a rock and it gets ruined, gets puzzled. In the Goyin's case, he asked the Talmud to watch him and make sure they don't puzzle the tzitzis, and the Talmud had to like walk out, use the bathroom or something. At that moment, the chevra comes in, snips off the tzitzis. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's ke'ilu a simin, a basco came down min hashamayim to maintain the Ashkenazi practice of not burying with tzitzis. A similar idea you have in the Aruch HaShulchan in Simin Kuf Chav Kes of Aruch Chaim, where there's a minig of Ashkenazim that we only duchen on Yomim Tovim. No? Very difficult minig. There's a mitzvah that say min ha-tayra to duchen every day. How come Ashkenazim only duchen on Yantiv? So two Goyinei Olam wanted to institute duchening every day. And I think in one case, right, the whole shul burned down. They wanted to like duchen every day. The shul burned down. Simin min Simin min Hashemayim. Don't do this. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Now it's really questionable. Do I assume when bad stuff happens that there's a simin min Hashemayim to paskin the shayla? No. We spoke about the tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, right? The tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid not to open a grave until death. So we pointed out that most poskim assume, that Rabbi Yehuda writes, most poskim assume that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is only Luban of Acharav and the tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is not binding. One of the things in the tzavah of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is that two brothers should not marry two sisters. Right. So in the Shuvah Melamed LeHoel, he quotes that Rabbi Avram Bing was a Tamluch Sam Sefer. I think he was one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi David Tzvi Hoffman. He had two brothers marrying two sisters. On the way to the wedding, the horses go nuts. They flip over, and the whole wedding stuff gets ruined. So I would have said, Simen Min HaShemayim, don't do it. Right? Says the Melamed LeHoel, no, this is a patch from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He writes it like in German, Yiddish, whatever. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is slapping me, go and get married. The problem is that Melamed LeHoel himself has a discussion at the end of Chayruch Aruch Chayim. There's a shayla about Motzei Shabbos Chanukah. Do I do Havdalah first or do I do Neiris Chanukah first? Right? Many people split between Shul and at home. So, Machlokes of Maharal of Prague, the Taz quotes, and the Ramah, it's like a whole Lamdasha issue. So, Reb David Tzvi Hoffman wanted to change the practice at one point, and he wanted, I think, to do Neiris Chanukah before Havdalah. But Kimtz again that he forgot Atochan Antonu and Meirif that night, so he couldn't light Neiris Chanukah before making Havdalah. So he said, oh, it's a simen min hashamayim that I was wrong in my analysis. And he went back and he analyzed the sugya and he denied. So the question as to when I take a simen min hashamayim as a halachic source or not is a very, very interesting question. The minhag of Ashkenazim of not burying with tzitzis is probably because that the smag, the Moshe Darshan, used to go from community to community and tell people, you're not doing mitzvahs properly. Ashkenazim were not wearing tefillin. And Ashkenazim were not wearing tzitzis. So it was an insult, right? How could this guy, he didn't wear tzitzis his whole life, how can he now wear tzitzis? Elamai, right? If someone wore tzitzis, you should bury him with tzitzis. Someone doesn't wear tzitzis, you should not bury him with tzitzis. So the Baalei Torah say you can't do that because we don't distinguish between mason. Right, we're going to see later on, or we're going to see that there was a time that they would be tovel kelim al gabei noshim nidos mesos, and then they said, like, the women were tining. Like, listen, you know, even b'chayim, I understand we're different than everybody else. L'achamisa, why are we different than everybody else? We try also not to be machalik. It says in Shulchan Aruch that don't bury with tachrichim yukarim. Give everybody a plain white shroud. You don't bury with like fancy coffins. Everybody plain pine box. Right? We don't distinguish. So that's probably the minhag of Ashkenazim is based on that. Some people didn't wear tzitzis. The Rav Yah writes that those people who wore tzitzis, they would bury them with tzitzis. Those people who didn't wear tzitzis, they would not bury them with tzitzis. There are other traditions that we do distinguish in minor things between various mason. We mentioned about how during the Tahara, we pour water, we pour Tisha Kabim on the body. Tisha Kabim, we assume in Arachayim Peidala is some sort of Tahara. We don't put the person in the mikvah. For Gedola Yisrael, they put him in the mikvah. That's the way it was usually done. It happens today. My father tells me that they have like some sort of, again, it's not a kosher mikvah. They have some sort of mikvah in the Tahara room. It's just easier to lower the body on a wench instead of like pouring. It's like a complicated, it's more simple to just lower the body down. Again, the minhag of the Rav Yah is that they did distinguish between mason. Okay, gentlemen, if there is that chair at 1:15 in the base measures, people are encouraged to go, and we should have a wonderful day. Zayge benched.